Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 316 featuring Richard Pei of Uniform and our very own Melissa Knight as well of Chaos. Of Chaos now. I have to say Chaos, not Chaos Group. Right?
Yes.
Are you excited about this? Have you gotten used to saying Chaos instead of Chaos Group?
I've been helping with reskinning the website the last month. So yes.
I know, but verbally saying it is a little bit different.
I like it because it's one word. So much easier. Chaos.
Yep. So we should talk a little bit about what this podcast is about. This podcast is Uniform was the company that we worked with for a long time, over a year, on rebranding Chaos. Mm-hmm. I want to say Chaos Group, but it's Chaos. So now we've become Chaos, and that is basically our new brand, and we've rebranded everything. And the act of branding a company or doing a rebrand of something is actually a huge amount of work, and Richard and Melissa get into it and explain what that is and also the motivation behind it and why we did the things we did and how they look and why they look things like things that are interesting as well. Honestly, anyone who's listening to this who does any kind of creative work need to understand branding. I think it's a very important part of how you brand yourself as well, as it could be, a large company or it could be just yourself. So it's really good lessons that we learned from Richard and from Melissa, which were really cool to have. I of course, they were great. Melissa's wonderful. So what were some of the cool things that you caught on this, Melissa? Kristen?
Well, just like you said, you learn just like the whole back end story of what they've been doing the last year and just all the, the little things that go into it to make a brand and more than just a logo.
Right.
And there's just so much more in there. And then Richard also explains his background and actually how Uniform was already like huge fans of V-Ray. So that was awesome to hear. And then Melissa gives us the Easter egg, as you would call it, about the C in Chaos and why it's slightly slanted in the new logo, which is really cool. I love it.
It is. So you get to learn a lot about our new brand and how it works and the motivations behind it. So it was really cool to see that. I'm very excited about it. So just check it out. It's really cool. So we have a couple of events going on coming up soon. So what's going on?
So you can find these at chaos.com/events. On March 2nd, there will be a live webinar. Yeah, March 2nd, the day after this comes out, live webinar introducing V-Ray 5 for Revit. And then on March 11th, it will be a webinar on V-Ray 5 for Maya and Chaos Vantage.
Perfect. So again, all those can be found at chaosgroup.com/events and sign up for those events if you want to learn more about those products. And speaking of products, we had, as you guys know, last week, we had some really big announcements that are going on. We told you to keep an eye out for it. We had our keynote and we announced a ton of new initiatives we did, including this rebrand, which was part of the whole initiative. You'll obviously learn more about the rebrand in this actual podcast. But besides that, we also announced big updates of V-Ray 5 for Revit, Rhino, and SketchUp, as well as 3ds Max Update 1 there. So V-Ray 5 has been updated or added to all of those products, and it's really, really cool and interesting. We've big updates also for V-Ray Vision across all those products, which is a big part of what we're doing, our real-time initiative in those areas. So really, you guys should totally check those out. And then, of course, the big thing is a new product that we've embedded inside of all of these things, and that is Chaos Cosmos, which is very exciting. It is our asset library that you can get access to inside of all of those products. So Revit, Rhino, SketchUp, and Max. And you'll be able to access Cosmos, which will have a huge library of assets, including people and trees and HDRs and all kinds of cool stuff. So very exciting to have all those products and very excited to have, Chaos Cosmos and all the other products going on there. So lots of stuff going on. Check it out. Just go to chaosgroup.com for all of that information. That was a lot of work we've been doing. I don't think we've been even keeping that under wraps. So it's a lot of news on that area. Okay. If people want to know more about the podcast, Kristen, where can they go?
You can go to facebook.com/CG Garage Podcast or chaosgroup.com/CG Garage.
Great. And if you guys have any questions or ideas for podcasts, please let us know. labs@chaosgroup.com is, of course, the email you can use to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. If you, of course, want to give us a rating, we would appreciate it. Go to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating and a review there. And if you, make sure and share us with your friends. And of course, remember the video podcast, we mentioned that before, available on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube page, which is now Chaos TV, I think, right? I'm not sure. So anyway, our rebranding has gone across the board, including some of our social media platforms. It's been a lot of work. Everything had to get redone. But it's cool. I really like it. And our brand looks great. So Melissa and Richard did a fantastic job on pushing that initiative. Really happy for that. Yeah. And you know what? Let us know what you think. You know, love to hear what your thoughts are on the rebrand as well. Okay. Is that it? I think that's all we have, right, Kristen?
Oh, yep.
That's a lot. But Anyway, here it is. Episode number 316, Richard Pei and Melissa Knight.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passé. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fernell.
So Richard, Melissa, and I, she used to help me doing the podcast intros back in the day. And we went to FMX one day and someone recognized her voice as being part of the podcast.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, famous. It'll be happening to you now.
This must feel full circle coming back.
Yeah, it's nice to be back, actually. It's been a while, Chris, hasn't it? I used to help with the intros, but since Kristen helps out so much more now, so I don't really do that
so much.
Yeah,
she's going to be the person that's going to be picked up at conferences, like, hey, you must be Kristen, which is cool.
And now Richard will too on the streets of Liverpool.
That's right. All right, Rich.
This is my first podcast ever, so it might be my next claim.
Maybe. All right, so Richard, let's talk a little bit about. I want to talk a little bit about uniform, and I want to talk a little bit about branding, and then I want to talk about our branding and sort of lead down that way. So let's sort of start with uniform, and possibly even yourself. Like how did you end up with uniform and do that whole thing? What was your journey to get there?
Well, my background actually started doing advertising at university. So I kind of learned a lot about the whole theory behind advertising and kind of how people think and how they work. But I really started getting interested in the visual communication side of things and graphic design after university. So I kind of ended up teaching myself that. It wasn't really through any formal education. And I started at a really small agency working on like student accommodation websites, stuff like that. Which it was really good to be able to start somewhere small and kind of see what it's like firsthand and take on a lot of responsibility yourself. And during that time, I kind of met all sorts of different artists as well and just like opened my world to what's possible. But after a few years doing that, I joined Uniform and that really kind of took me into a much more strategic world of branding and design. But because we're actually split into two parts, so the first part is a brand consultancy, and the second part is really focused around architectural visualization. Right. So there was suddenly all of these incredible 3D artists all around me that I kind of had no background or knowledge about, so I got kind of sucked into that world, and I was just amazed by everything that I saw.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, because I knew Uniform the first time I sort of knew them was when I saw their work. I mean, I'd left the architecture visualization world, and then I sort of got sucked a little bit back into it around 2007, and I saw their work when they were presenting at something with CG Architect, and I said, first of all, it was a whole new world of visualization. I realized something very different. But I've always known Uniform as being one of the top world-tier architecture visualization companies, and it's interesting that they got into branding and advertising, and I'm wondering, what is that connection? How can you connect? What is the connection between those two worlds?
Well, it was a really interesting journey for Uniform because it was started by two product designers. So they both finished university and thought that they was going to get into a product design world. But that 3D background kind of slowly evolved into getting more focused around architectural visualization. Mm-hmm. But because design had been such a passion for them, that ended up branching off into also doing design work, creative direction. So the company was a bit of a mix for a long time while they was kind of finding their feet and just testing all sorts of different opportunities. And slowly it got more formalized in terms of Uniform has two sides to the business. Right. So the one side being a brand consultancy and the second, they just kind of grew and grew with incredibly talented but very modest 3D artists as well doing amazing 3D architectural visualization work.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind
of... It's got to be quite unique, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Like that company setup's got to be quite unique.
I think so. I don't really know anyone else who does things like we do. And, you know, our clients tend to be split quite differently. They'll work on a lot of different things to what I'd work on, but there's just these beautiful moments and chances where we get to really pull our skills together.
Yeah, that's true. But it is an interesting thing. I think, you know, obviously architecture visualization in itself what you're doing is you're presenting a building, right? You're presenting a building to potential people that want to live at or work at those places. And so while you can just do that with images and say, here's what your, you know, reception desk would look like, which is the typical thing, you could also put an entire feeling around it, right? To really elevate it to the next level, you want to turn that space into a brand in some ways. So I think the transition to brand is not completely disjointed. In fact, I think a successful architectural visualization company should consider brand a narrative. I mean, brand is really about a narrative in a lot of ways, right?
Absolutely. Branding is all about storytelling, and our art directors are absolutely adamant that every one of their images needs to tell a story as well. And ultimately, whatever you're creating, whether that is a single image of a building that's about to get built, that is still telling a story about what's going to come to your area. So it's all perfectly interlinked.
Right. So when you started thinking, when they started thinking about branding, did they, you know, start to think about it because of the architectural visualization? Is that the natural transition that they made?
To be honest, I don't think it was quite as clear as that. I think it just stood on who the clients were at the time. They knew that they had the capability to be able to do design work for the architectural visualization and for the architects. Okay. And then that just slowly spiraled into something bigger and bigger.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's really great. So when you came into the company, they'd already had some kind of a established the idea of branding in that way. And so you sort of brought that knowledge directly to them. What is the, so tell us a little bit, in the best words that you can, what is branding and what does that mean, and why is it, you know, something that we experience every day, and how do we experience those things?
Yeah, well, it's a very good question. Basically, like I said, branding is about storytelling, but what we really do is help define brands. I think a lot of the time, a lot of the elements are already there, but they're not particularly articulating it very well or as powerfully as they could be. So we just work with brands to really understand what's at the core of their business and how to then articulate that. And then once we've solidified that, we've solidified who they are, what the purpose is, and we help them deliver on that as well. So whether that's through an entire rebrand or a campaign or film content, It's a pretty different story for every different client we work with, but ultimately we're here to kind of help brands really understand and represent themselves as powerfully as possible.
Yes. Okay. Give me an example. I mean, it could be a brand that you've worked on. We'll work obviously on the Chaos Group one in a bit, but give me an example of a brand. You know, it could be someone you worked on or another famous brand like Apple or I think Razer has an interesting brand as an idea, or Red Bull has an interesting brand, right? Like, tell me an example of how brand works for those products.
Well, Red Bull is a perfect example. If you think Red Bull, you don't only think about the energy drink that you get in the can. You think about extreme sports, and you think about sending people to space, and you just think about all this other meaning that they've built around themselves. So they've not only gained a fan base through this drink, they've gained a fan base through all the different things that they support, all the projects that they run. That's just a perfect articulation of kind of becoming, meaning something bigger than just the product that sits on the shelf. Right.
Exactly. So it's not just, it's a drink that tastes like Jolly Ranchers. It's basically, it's about someone jumping from a air balloon and other.
Like racing cars.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things, you know, obviously, and, you know, Apple is obviously very much a brand, right? People are completely subscribed to that brand, but it's much more tied to the product. It's not just a lifestyle in a lot of ways. It's all about, like, I need that product in a lot of ways. So that's very, very interesting. Yeah, I think that the idea of narrative is really important and how you tell those stories. So when you are, you know, if you're going to start looking at a company, and let's say a company like Chaos Group says, all right, we're ready to explore our brand. We knew that as an example. What are some of the first things that you do to explore that narrative and find out how it's articulated?
I mean, well, we have very clear steps in the journey. We've got a pretty robust strategy team. So we always, first of all, start with the insight, what we're working from here. I think a lot of the bigger companies that we work with can be really focused around product. So they'll just be wondering, how can we sell more of this product? How can we articulate this product better? Whereas in a fast-moving world, you've got to really focus on what it is ultimately that you're doing and you're providing people to make sure that you can evolve. So we try and find that kind of one core nugget of truth that's all about your business. Right. So like once you, it's a fair bit of work to really get to that crux of it. And like I say, most of it already exists within the business. It's just not being kind of brought together in the right way yet. And we'll understand like what are the pillars that that really support your business and let you live up to this single idea. And from there, we the strategy and the creative thought is briefed into the creative team, and we'll go through a similar process to most artists, where we'll start with the concept, the big idea. How do we best visualize this, represent it? What is the best way of saying it? And we make sure that we look at that from every single touch point. You know, I think a lot of people, when they hear about branding, they think immediately about a logo.
Right.
But because obviously we live in this vast, diverse world, you've got to consider like every single moment that is experienced from your audience about your brand, whether that's something physical, whether it's digital. I mean, virtual worlds and everything that's getting built in this current situation. We need to make sure that we've got an idea that's big enough to span all of them touch points. And once we've understood that, it's really about how we then deliver on it. What are the key things that you need as a company to be able to really start living this? But branding's something that's also never finished. It's just a continuous journey where you start as strong as you can, and you've got to keep moving, keep adapting to the situation, keep making the most of every new opportunity as well. So it really is like the best work that we do is where we have really kind of rich and trusted relationships with the businesses that we're working with as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. Obviously, I mean, you're basically trying to tell their story, which is something, it's not, you know, that's a journey that you have to go through together. And I know that when we started our branding, we were just talking about it. You know, Melissa, you were up in Liverpool about a year ago, right? Almost exactly a year ago.
Pretty much.
That journey started a long time ago when you first, and that was not even the beginning. That was just the sort of the big push was starting a year ago. So there was a lot of stuff that had to happen and during that time. But you explored, I mean, there was an advantage that Uniform had when it came to Chaos Group, because they already had a relationship for years with Chaos Group, right?
Yeah. I mean, most of the time we know that the client is the expert in their business, in their industry, and we're there to kind of facilitate that, bring more insight to it. But the beauty of this was that our team of CG artists were already absolute fans, all use the product day in, day out. So we kind of had like an on-site focus group for everything that we was doing as well, yeah. which was amazing. And, you know, when they did get to be part of the process a little bit later down the line, it was a really interesting balance because obviously they was all like really thrilled and excited to be part of this story, but the kind of the nerves and the anxiety of doing something for Chaos, who they absolutely admire, you could see like the pressure kind of setting in.
Yeah. I'm sure it must be kind of interesting to sort of, you know, like making a movie with your biggest movie fan, right? It's got a little bit of a challenge in some ways, right? So I even know, like, for example, I've heard stories of people at ILM that didn't get a job at ILM because they were too much of a fan of ILM and they thought they would get too distracted by the environment they're in instead of actually doing their work. So sometimes it's a little bit challenging that way. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm a real believer in having diverse kind of thoughts and backgrounds on any different project. So we do a lot in the sports world, and I'm not a particular fan of any sport, to be honest. But I think that brings a really different perspective where I'm not thinking about the things that everyone else is already thinking about it. It means that I can just think about it from a different point of view. And I think that what we brought here was a brilliant balance of a bit of outside perspective, but really kind of deep knowledge and excitement about the client as well.
Yes, absolutely. So what were some of the things, you know, obviously, you know, you like you said, you started at an advantage of already knowing about the product and about the, you know, as users of it. What were some of the challenges that you guys had when you're sort of exploring what Chaos Group is all about?
I mean, the minute that I heard that this was happening, I was just filled with excitement because it felt to me like the perfect opportunity. Since I've got into the world of 3D artistry, I've just tried to use it at any given opportunity, and this was the perfect opportunity to really maximize that. I think in terms of the challenges, it felt quite easy during the strategy phase in terms of You're a business that really understands yourself and really knows what you're here to do and offer. And when it came to the creative, once we got to that crux, it just felt like such a powerful thought to be able to bring to life. I guess the main challenge was that we started all of this as we went into lockdown. So there was a lot of change going on around the world. Just suddenly from being able to be in a room filled with these people and sharing ideas and thoughts, you're suddenly having to organize a Google Meet, a Google Hangout. So it was probably the more functional issues around that was the most challenging at the time.
Yeah, I can imagine because, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, branding, especially at the early phases when you're coming up, it involves a lot of long hours of brainstorming, right? So now all of a sudden you guys have to brainstorm over Zoom or Google Meet, and that's got to be a challenge, right?
Another challenge was the timing, wasn't it, Rich? Like the, you know, we're working on this project and there was initial ideas to kind of get it released, perhaps at our big Total Chaos event. And then, of course, the pandemic took hold and Total Chaos had to be cancelled because obviously we couldn't be meeting in person. We had to sort of reevaluate things in terms of how we were going to be rolling this out. Of course, all the work kept ticking over in terms of the actual production side of things. But I think, you know, we've got to a point like, when is a good time to announce this and do it? And everyone's going through so much right now, and we don't want to be kind of singing and dancing and going, everything's fine. A lot of people aren't feeling that way. So I think that was another challenge as well that definitely affected how this project kind of scoped out and its eventual rollout.
It's so important to be able to have kind of milestones in projects like this so you can track where you're at and make sure that you're launching at the right time. But like you say, because everything suddenly changed and turned on its head, it didn't feel like the right moment to be talking about this kind of whole new world we was about to enter, which I think did give us time to get to a moment where we can launch in a super powerful way, hopefully. But you're right, it was up in the air for a bit.
yeah, for sure. I'm sure it was a challenge, you know, to think about how this is all going to affect us, because it was definitely something that was we all had to recalibrate, right? We all had to rethink how we do everything at that point. And I think now, obviously, this is exciting, right? We're you know, as of this recording, we're when we're recording this, we're about to unveil this onto the world, and by the time this comes out, it will be unveiled, and so we'll see a little bit more about it. But I'd love, you know, you guys, both of you guys actually, to sort of think about, like, okay, so let's explain where we came from as far as Chaos Group and the brand that it had, and how you guys went on the journey to take it to what it is now and why you guys are there.
Yeah, sure. Shall I start?
Do you want to talk,
Melissa? Yeah, sure. So we kind of have got to a point with our business that we're evolving quite rapidly. The marketplace is changing. I mean, that's common in a lot of different industries. So, you know, we're also keeping up. We're expanding our range of products. It's not just about the equity in a single product like V-Ray or a couple of different products. There's a big change in direction for Chaos, and this was our key chance to tell our story, right? So as Rich said, it's not just about creating a set of nice new logos. We could have done that in-house probably. It's more a case of how do we look at the brand as a whole and communicate this new evolving company, and you know, what our offering is, how we can support the artist and designer community. So, you know, it also ties in with the fact that we could really do with a new set of logos. So the two kind of things came together, right?
Right.
Because a lot of our Chaos Group's branding has evolved over time. A lot of our product logos have been developed independently, and they've been, you know, released as products in their own right. And I mean, I found, Chris, I'm sure you've found it too, that, you know, you talk to people, you meet someone for the first time, and you say, someone says, oh, what company do you work for? And I say, I work for Chaos Group. And they sort of nod, and you can tell they don't really know who Chaos Group are. Mm-hmm. And then you say, oh, right. The makers of V-Ray. And everyone goes, oh, right, yeah, of course, great.
Right, right.
Which is fine. It's fine. But the change in, you know, our business focus is that it's more than just any one particular product. We're right. creating a whole ecosystem of tools. So we wanted to kind of pull that branding back to the heart of the company. So that's why the focus has been on the Chaos brand, and then that exists to give all of our customers the tools that they need to create some fantastic work. So it was a perfect moment for us to evaluate everything, to get our logos looking like they were part of a single family and not just independent entities. And yep. So that's why the branding project kind of kicked off. From the beginning, and mm-hmm. as we've already touched on, the reason why we chose Uniform to work with is because they've got this unique setup where they create some fantastic work in terms of the branding agency side, but they're also a big customer of ours and understand our product and understand what our company is like, and they can tell us what they want us to be like too, so we've learned a lot directly from them. So it worked out perfectly well, and it's been a really fun journey over the past year.
Yeah, and the thing I think that's interesting about, you know, Chaos has got a lot of interesting things, because one, yes, we do have a lot of products, and yes, there is a lot of them are related to V-Ray, but we do actually have a ton of flavors of V-Ray, right? We have V-Ray for Maya, V-Ray for Houdini, V-Ray for SketchUp. And a V-Ray for SketchUp user is not the same user as a V-Ray for Houdini user, right? So there's two very different people that are involved in that. which is kind of an interesting as a product. And then on top of that, then we have things like Phoenix and Corona and Vantage and Cosmos and all that stuff, right? So there's a lot of different...
Yeah, we talk to a lot of different people.
Yeah.
Different mindsets and focuses. Yeah. And it's a really complex brand, actually.
It is a very complex brand. There's a lot of, and like you said, there's a lot of industries too. You know, architecture is one of them, but we have a huge following in the visual effects world and the film world, the product design world, automotive world. I mean, you know, now that I'm part of the key accounts, I'm like, wait a minute, they're a key? Like I'm just surprised by some of the really big brands that are involved in our product as well. So our you know, what the industries that we serve are very big. And I think that everyone, what's also find interesting is that the people who use our products don't necessarily realize how big the other parts of our products are, right? Like an architect doesn't necessarily know how big it is in visual effects, or visual effects, more importantly, they tend to be the most closed-minded people sometimes, don't necessarily realize how big our architecture market is, right? Or don't necessarily realize that we are huge in the automotive industry, right? So that's a thing that I think is so interesting, is that we have so many different diverse groups of people that use our products and different mindsets and different, each one of them different goals in different ways, right? They have different things that they mm-hmm. want to accomplish with our product. So it's really kind of something that we sort of look at. So what was, I mean, okay, so when I think of, you know, marketing speak, the persona, right? The persona of a V-Ray or a Chaos user. I'm going to use the word Chaos now because that's now a part of our brand. It's not Chaos Group as much. Let's talk about that, Melissa. So let's talk about this Chaos Group thing. How did this all happen? What's that story there?
So there's several reasons why we've kind of shortened the name just to Chaos. One of them, like, as I'm a designer, I have to work with Chaos Group with a long, thin logo, which is often really tricky. So I love that it's really short now and compact and neat. So that's one reason. Mm-hmm. Another reason is that it becomes, like I said, Chaos becomes the heart of the company. So you hear the name Chaos Group and it sounds very corporate, right? It's the name of a company, whereas Chaos becomes something more of like a community. You've got that spirit of tying everything together with not only but the products, but the community as well. So it lends itself really well to things like Total Chaos, Agents of Chaos, My Chaos for your login hub and so on. So it's not just a company name. It becomes this kind of linchpin that ties everything together. So shortening the word, the company name definitely helped with that. And also we've now associated the name Chaos with our actual products as well. So the official name for V-Ray is Chaos V-Ray, and it's Chaos Vantage and it's Chaos Cloud, which we've already used in the past anyway. But that now flows throughout all of our products. So they're all tagged with the company name. So you get that brand equity being built up in the Chaos name all the way through everything. And that helps to give customers a real grasp of our full offering when you build the equity in the name. Did I do a good job with that, Rich?
I just think that was
that real, right?
But I also just think that Chaos is such a powerful word. Like, for five letters, it can mean so much. And, you know, from chaos comes beauty, from chaos comes order. Like, you was already kind of accidentally getting there because of things like Agents of Chaos.
Yeah.
It became kind of the way of describing the community. And it just feels like a natural step forward and such a powerful name for people to be able to hold on to.
Yeah, it's chaos, definitely, it's good. It's good. And it's been, you know, obviously we've had, you know, associated, and people were already calling us Chaos. I've been to so many business meetings like, this is Chris from Chaos. I was like, technically it's Chaos Group, but now I can actually say, yes, I am from Chaos, you know, which is kind of nice. Coming, you know, emerging out of chaos is kind of a good place to start where we do things, or definitely disruptive. Chaos is a little disruptive. Well, that's really cool. And obviously, you know, with that, our brand, you know, like you said, our it is more than a logo change, but our logos and our brands have changed significantly. And there was a journey that we went through to make that happen. And you know, I think you. I mean, Melissa, I've seen your presentation many times because I've always liked to go see it, even though you're giving it to different people. But I love the story of the journey of why we came from where we did and why we did what we did. So, can you guys tell me the story of like where we came from and why we're here now and why things look different now?
Yeah, I mean,
do you want to go, Melissa, or shall I?
Yeah, I can kind of start, and then you can talk about the process we went through. I think that might be good. So we, you know, I mentioned it already. So our logos got, our old logos got put together independently. So you put them all on a page, and we're talking about the fact that we want to present ourselves with an ecosystem of amazing tools. So you look at the logos right. all together, and they don't relate to each other because they've been designed independently. So a key thought was to let's pull everything together to make it look stylistically like they came from the same place. So that's a good goal to aim for. They're also really black and white. You know, we've got our old branding was very monotone. We've got a little bit of blue in there for a bit of highlight color, but essentially everything was very clean. And, you know, that came from a place of let's let the images speak, right? So we kind of stepped back, and we wanted to give a very clear canvas for the images to shine. So we didn't want any kind of bright, loud branding to go with it. And I think that served us well for many years. But, you know, we saw this as an opportunity to say, well, can we increase the use of colour? Can we use colour as a tool to differentiate between our products? Let's explore this. But also bear in mind that we don't want to overpower any kind of ads that we put out there where it feels like we're shouting about our brand and it's less about the beautiful images because we're so conscious of making sure that they can shine. So, right. you know, that was on the table from the beginning, and we discovered that, yes, we could add colour and it would be really successful. We did go through a journey in terms of having some really bright colours at the start. they were all kind of really candy coloured and very bright and neon-y. But it was thought at that time that they did go a bit too far, and it kind of felt a bit too in your face. So we dialed it back to create a set of colours in the palette which felt a little bit more refined. So yeah, there's a lot of consideration that went into the colour side of things. And in terms of the logos, do you want to talk about that, Rich?
Yeah, I think we was very well aware going into this that there was a lot of love behind the existing products, and therefore a lot of kind of recognizability around the logos as well. And I think in general, change can be quite scary. And I think some people might be a little bit uncomfortable with it initially. But what we're really trying to do here is create clarity and let everyone know that this, like Melissa says, this ecosystem of products that are all seamlessly connected all come from chaos. So to do that, it meant we had to evolve, but we didn't want to lose the things that were really recognized around, especially V-Ray. We wanted to make sure that we had some continuity there. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the Phoenix logo, I can imagine when that was created in the day, it had a lot of time and attention put into it. And I think, you know, it can feel a little bit sad to lose something like that, but to be able to kind of move forward into a new world where everything is connected and everything is really clear, you know, we wanted to build as much meaning into all of these logos as we possibly could as well. So within the new Phoenix logo, you know, you've got the wave that goes from the neck to the beak that represents the fluids, and then you've got the flames that come for the feathers as well. So we're instilling as much meaning as we can, and there's an entire story behind each and every one of them to do justice to what's come before and where we're going next as well.
Yeah, I think the Phoenix logo is honestly, I mean, the animated version of the Phoenix logo is so cool because I love, you know, the idea that it's a fluid sim and it's a fire and it's a bird, like it's all in one image with like five strokes, which is kind of an amazing accomplishment.
I know.
That's a lot of stuff to incorporate into a single logo, which is minimalist at the same time.
I don't think there was any changes on that one. That was one where I think we got shown the first design. We're like, yeah, that one's done.
That's so good. It's so good. Yeah, it's really cool. Now, I do want to ask a little question before we, you know, like obviously you said, you know, we went with these colors and the colors and logos, and all the logos definitely feel like they feel part of one continuity right now. And all the colors feel like they're one continuity. Do brands tend to go through journeys and fashion, like this fashionable brands at some point, you know, back in the 90s and the early 2000s, everything was like literally looked like candy pieces, right? There was like, I mean, I'm no Apple, all their buttons were literally looked like gumdrops, right? Everything was very shiny in that way. And then all of a sudden everything got flattened down to a single colors with, you know, no edges, no drop shadows, nothing, no dimensionality to it at all. So is there branding, like is there fashionable brands that happen, and if there is, how do you refresh those brands to match those fashions as they go along?
Well, I mean, the thing is, there are always going to be these trends, and we just really try and stay out of that. It can be hard because what you see every day is obviously going to kind of inform you, and you want to make sure that you're presenting yourselves at at least the same, if not better, version of what everyone else is doing. But we just make sure that when we're going through the concept phase, we're pushing to such different ends of the spectrum that we're not just led by a trend. There might be one that feels like, you know, this is cool right now, but in 3 years' time, it's probably going to be redundant. Right. So we try and look at everything as objectively as we can, but obviously you're always influenced by kind of what you see out in the world.
Right. But you guys had noticed, and then Melissa, I know you, when we talked, you saw a lot of very similar looks to all of the people within the computer graphic software world, right?
Yeah, we did. We had like a nice little montage, and we collected a lot of frame grabs from people's websites and so on and put them all together. And, you know, you take a step back and you realize that everyone's kind of doing the same thing. And we were doing the same thing as well. We were in this kind of dark world. Everything was very simple. And we saw this project as a chance to stand out in the crowd. You know, we don't want to create change for change's sake and do something, you know, just to create a stir. But at the same time, it was such a good opportunity to say, well, what can we do that still looks good, that still works well, that's not going to annoy people visually and you know, create issues. But at the same time, let's see what we can do, how far we can push things. And now when we did a montage of our new branding and then put that alongside, you know, the typical marketplace images, it does look quite different. And we hope people will enjoy that and embrace it. And it has been a big change, you know. People within our company have had to take a step back and go, whoa, this is different. But, you know, I think people are going to really love it. We'll find out.
Right.
We will. That was one of the kind of biggest moments for me as an outsider, to be able to pull together everything that's happening in the industry, for an industry that's built on kind of innovation and so much creativity. From a brand point of view, I was just so surprised how everyone kind of looked the same and was saying the same things. So for us, it was just like such a brilliant opportunity to have Chaos kind of stand for something different and be a bit more of a representation of the creative, bright, vibrant, eclectic community.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's really, really interesting. I think obviously, like, rebrands always have, there's always going to be mixed feelings about them no matter what, especially when you first see them. It's mostly because you're seeing something that you're not used to seeing. You're familiar, even if you don't like what you've seen before, a new brand can just change your opinion. Like, oh, that's different, right? It's not, you can go like, that's awesome. It's like, but wait, I like, you know, the old ugly car that I used to have, and why does this one look different? So it takes a while. I think, you know, even actually that's true in car design too. Like, you see cars, a redesign of a car, a refresh of a car, usually you get very mixed reactions at the first, you know, few months or a year or so of that product, because people go like, I'm used to the old way, I don't like it, right? And so that's a little bit of a different thing. But I think obviously when it grows, it grows really well. But there's a lot of stuff that we did at the Chaos Group brand, Chaos brand. Sorry, I'm gonna get better at that. It's been years, 20 years of me saying Chaos Group. There's a lot of stuff that's interesting about what we're doing. And there's a lot of work that has to go into branding, as we previously discussed. Now, we covered logos a little bit. We can go a little bit more into that. And we talked about using colors as well to associate products with colors. But when you presented the other day, you know, internally to the company, Melissa, of all the different things that are going on, can you give people this is why it takes so long to rebrand a company. Explain all the different things that you had to accomplish and needed attention on the brand side of things.
Yeah, I mean the new logos is the tip of the iceberg, and it almost feels like once we got that bit done, which was really fun. I mean that's the part I loved the most, really. You know, once you've done that, you're talking about how you then communicate the brand, right? So you're talking about tone of voice. It's the marketing messages you use. So that was a big component of the early set of tools that we had in our arsenal to then push out and communicate this brand. So once we kind of had what the look was like, what the tone of voice was like, we then had to go about actually pushing this out into everywhere where the public's going to see it. And so I started making a make list. So I had my list of logos, and then I had my list of where those logos would appear, and then the various hubs that we have, because it's not just our website, it's the forum, it's the account, My Chaos page, it's, yep. You know, the documentation site. And this list kept growing, and my spreadsheet got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then there's all the internal systems that we use, like the HR forms, our letterhead, presentation template. And so this make list got really, really big. And of course, we're not just a company with one or a couple of products. Like, we've got a lot now and it's expanding, so you've got to use that all the way through and make sure it looks consistent across everything. So I realized, like, after we'd delivered and got signed off on the actual creative side, that the implementation side was like this another curve that we were going to have to climb
Every product itself had to basically have, like, their product,
the
UX has to be redesigned or taken into consideration the brand, right? So everything has to happen across the board.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, actually, with our products. And it's quite a tricky place to be in, because essentially Vera is a plugin, right? It's something that exists within a host application. So the UI has been designed there to tie in very much with the host UI. So not every V-Ray looks exactly the same, because it's adapted for the host application. So then it was like, okay, well, we need a button to represent Chaos Cosmos in Cinema 4D. But, you know, we've got to bear in mind that needs to blend in with the other toolbar icons. We can't just slap our logo in there, because that would just look ugly and weird. So we've done all these, like, little extra nuances, these tweaks. Rich doesn't even probably know about this, but there's been a lot of work by our UX team and our design team to make sure that we're kind of pushing it out in the right way, and we're not forcing it into places where it suddenly seems awkward. And we need to be flexible. It's, you know, we're going to learn a lot as this brand is out in the world now. And, you know, people might say, well, it's not quite working here. What do we need to do? Or, things that you haven't considered will come up. And I'm sure it will get adapted. But it is a very, it's a complex brand. Like, the number of logo files that we put in our style guide with all the different application types ran over 1,500 versions. of these logos, mm-hmm. because you're talking about JPEGs and EPS files and all this. So there's, and then in RGB and in CMYK, but the scope is huge. It's been right. a lot bigger than I thought from the beginning. That's for sure.
And you have different versions, like just one is just, you know, just a little icon, and then one is the actual like V-Ray, you know, or Chaos V-Ray for Maya, like every single thing that you would have there. It's a lot of stuff.
And I think from the outside, it's probably going to look quite easy and you're not really going to realize how much is there. But even in terms of, you know, we're big believers that in a digital world, you can't just have a static logo, which is why we've created the animated versions of all the logos to use through any kind of film work. So hopefully it feels quite seamless. And like Melissa says, it's going to be something that does adapt and evolve over time. But it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a lot of stuff. Now, you touched on something a little bit, Melissa, and I think it would be good if you can explain a little bit more. I know what you mean, but I want people to understand. When you said tone of voice, and that's something that is different, mm-hmm. right? That we're looking at. What does tone of voice mean, and how does that translate to brand? And give a more concrete example, who someone may not necessarily understand that, what that means.
So I actually think this is something Rich would be better off explaining because for me it's going to sound salesy, right? Because I work for the company, but for Rich it's about communicating an idea. So do you mind answering that instead, Rich?
Yeah, no worries. I mean, tone of voice is super important. If you don't consider that, tone of voice is everything that you say, regardless of the platform that it's on. So it might be how you know, someone on the phone is going to respond to a query, or it could be something that sits on the front page of your website. And you need to make sure that you're constantly reinforcing everything that's true to you there. So, you know, we try and keep it as simple as we can. The Chaos brand is all about empowerment. And it's about, you know, this sense of, you know, scale and bigness and everything that you can achieve with these products. So we want to make sure that everything we're saying ties into that as well. And just in terms of creating clarity, it's about explaining how do we make this product sound as simple and as understandable as possible. And it all comes back to kind of reinforcing the reasons that you exist as well. So there's four key things that we pinpointed as part of this process for Chaos. The first one being that you are patrons of visualization. The second is you are absolute problem solvers. That's kind of where your product stems. That's how you interact with the community. You unlock creativity for this eclectic mix of 3D artists. And finally, you're all about connecting the community. So we need to make sure that we're giving you the tools that you need to be able to speak about all them things in a clear, interesting, engaging way across any platform, really.
Yes, there is something that's important, obviously, about, you know, as we mentioned, there are so many different personas that exist within our products, right? And so the sense of unity and diversity is a very big part of what we are trying to do there. And the one thing that we do is we try to help the artist accomplish what they want to do. Now, do we have like a slogan now, right? That goes with our products and our logos that you have in there. What, Melissa, what is that?
Create your world. I'm going to make t-shirts with it soon, as soon as I can.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that was that yep. phrase was coined when the uniform team were working on our brand strategy and looking at, as Rich said, the empowerment message that we wanted to get across. So, you know, we're giving our customers the tools that they need to create their worlds. And this kept coming up in conversation. And initially it was kind of used as, you know, this is what you can base your brand strategy on. And then it became, well, why can't we then use that? Like, it was such a powerful phrase as our tagline. Like, it was originally going to be a descriptor for what we were going to come up with, but then we actually ended up using it. mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it sums up visualization, right? So you have an idea in your head, and everything that Chaos does is about allowing you to visualize that thought, that concept to create the world that you're thinking of. So, you know, that's kind of why we found it so powerful, because it does relate to every single one of our products. And it also ties in really nicely with the 3D worlds that Uniform created for us, these 3D assets that represent our different products, which are beautiful. They're now, you know, key things we can't wait to get out and start using across our ads and on our website and so on. So we're not going to put them everywhere all at once. They're going to come out a little bit gradually, but 3D World, if any listeners subscribe to 3D World, there's a really nice 3-page ad spread that we're putting in there with these beautiful 3D World assets that represent our different products. So yeah, this whole world concept is really important for us. So that's why we've chosen it for the tagline.
And that's kind of what I meant earlier when I was saying, you know, getting to the real core of what is true for that business and how it serves their users. And some, like, with such an eclectic mix of people, the one thing that's true to all of them is that they are creating their own world, whether it's something as huge as a film or whether it's something like a car or like a single tap within a space. Like, that is their world that they're creating at that moment. And that just became the catalyst for every single thing that we did next. That's how we led into creating the new brand assets of the world. It's how we got to the tone of voice. It's everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's fascinating that you did that. And it's so glad you guys went there with the worlds that were created, because I wanted to get to that point and talk about that. So what you guys created on top of the logos, you created these beautiful images that are spherical, right? So they look like little worlds, be it, you know, the way did you want to describe them. And each one is a representation of a much more elaborate image that represents that product or what that product is doing in some ways. Explain a little bit about that, because what I also love what you did is you guys split the worlds in half and then collided them together in some way. So how did, you know, it's a really cool campaign. So I love, can you get into that? Whoever came up with that idea, let us know about that.
Uniform.
Yeah.
Well, it was in quite an early concept presentation that we did. We presented two different routes that was kind of very different, but all from the same point. And as part of that, we talked about representing these products through worlds that partly showcased the capability of the product, but also could just be used to inspire and to talk about all the creative potential of what they can bring as well. And at the time, you know, what we really needed to focus on was the building of the core elements, like the logos. But it was something that we all kind of had in the back of our minds that we'd keep bringing up every so often. And thankfully, by the time that all the core components were signed off, we got to actually create these worlds. And I think, you know, by building each one of them has such a story behind it and has so many kind of hidden elements that you probably wouldn't even get at first glance. And I think with this, even though, you know, as we launch this, they're going to be kind of images used in film, there's so much potential of how we build out from them, how we use them to tell the product story, how we tell them to tell creative stories and brand stories. And in terms of them all crossing over together, this is just another example of how we can show our users that all of our products are seamlessly connected. This ecosystem I've just started calling it the Chaos Universe now. So this is just a way that we can show how everything's connected to let your imagination run free, basically.
Yeah, it's really a great idea, and I love that, you know, because we have these colors that complement each other in so many ways, that you create this thing where it's an image that's split in half and then the two parts of the globe fit together like a puzzle, but they are two distinct worlds, but somehow they relate to each other when you look at them together. And that's kind of an interesting thing if you think about, like, you know, Phoenix and V-Ray. Obviously, they're, you know, one's a fluid sim and the other one's a renderer, but you can't render the fluids without V-Ray, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You can't, you know, so they kind of need to work with each other in a lot of different ways, which I think is a really cool idea. Or even more specifically, like let's talk about Vantage, right? Vantage is a product that needs V-Ray to start using Vantage. But once you've done that, then you can all suddenly get the real time. I mean, there's a lot of things that work that way practically, but then if philosophically, like, oh, it all works together. It's one thing, you know, everything needs to kind of come together. I also love the fact that to me, I know they look like worlds to everyone, but to me they feel like snow globes. Like I'm looking inside of a snow globe and I feel that idea of like it's a mini world, right? In a sense, it's not as intimidating as the entirety of the world. It's my own little thing, that my own little safe
universes within universes.
yeah. Or what's the galaxy in Men in Black, you know, it's inside a little pearl.
Yeah.
It's like that. Yeah. So love there's a lot that. Of really cool things in that nature. Well, this is we're coming up right around an hour, so this has been really kind of an amazing journey to talk about this product. And obviously, like you said, you know, this is a living thing that continues to evolve. So how does that translate? I mean, what continues to happen is what's the best way to continue to give life to brands and across time? What's the tools that you need to accomplish to nurture it?
I mean, what we do from now really is we launch this hopefully exciting new world to everyone, and we kind of learn as we go. So we need to constantly be making sure that we're seeing what's happening within chaos, within our community, and making sure that we're adapting to the situations as they unfold as well. You know, the connecting the community piece is so fundamental to chaos, but currently, whilst you can't physically connect, it's something that we've not really been able to see the full potential of yet within this new brand. And that is, you know, right now we've been looking at how we build the Chaos brand in terms of these recognizable assets that you can become famous for. But we really need to be looking at how we're going to continue to like raise up and celebrate each of the eclectic bunch of 3D artists there as well. So, and I just genuinely believe what we've really done here is create some really exciting fundamentals that are going to just help you tell more and more powerful stories, create more and more engaging content and talk to and about the community in more and more exciting ways as well. And I'm saying exciting quite a lot here.
Well, it is exciting. Well, it is exciting because, and you know, especially, you know, when you've worked this hard and you've done this, gone through this journey for so long, this isn't something that you've got to be excited when it comes out, because otherwise it's just not worth the journey, right? So, but it was really cool that you guys did this, and I've been sort of looking at it over Melissa's shoulders, you know, over, like, I gotta think, Melissa, when we first thought about this rebranding, that was like 2 years ago then when this came up, right? Probably.
Oh, we've been talking about it for a while. I mean, it was just, we needed to kind of get to a point where we could fund the project and right. We could, because we knew it was going to be a big one, and that it tied in with the business messaging, right? Those two things just completely went hand in hand. So it's the moment for this to come together right now. And with the keynote presentation that went out on YouTube, you know, hopefully explaining that concept to the world, and everyone's on board and excited to see where we go from here.
Yeah, very, very, definitely very exciting to see that. So I'm excited to know where it's going. I'm also excited to keep that concept and those ideas when we do all of the things that we do, including, you know, anywhere from my email signature to going to Total Chaos. All of that is part of that excitement and that new brand and that new way of thinking. So which is very refreshing. So, and yeah, in fact, that would say refreshing is a good way to look at the whole process of this. So thank you
it's
so much, guys.
It's positive as well, right?
No, it is very positive. Yeah, you can't look at that logo and feel sad. That's for sure.
Well, what was the quote? So, you can't call yourself Chaos and be a quiet brand. That was the quote.
You can't call yourself Chaos and be a quiet brand. Yeah, for sure. which is really, really cool. So listen, guys, thank you so much for all of your effort and for creating this great brand and for allowing us to you know, explore it. I think a lot of people, especially, you know, that's another thing that's interesting to me is that, you know, obviously from this podcast, I've had a lot of different people been on before, and we've always learned about new things. And learning about branding is something that I think a lot of people need to know about. And branding is such an important part of what people need to know about their creative process. And that's anywhere from branding of a product or even self-branding, like your own brand, right? And what that represents. So that's something I think that's really important. So I really appreciate this journey telling people about it.
Sorry, Chris, to interrupt. I was just going to say, before we go, I'd really like for anyone that's still listening to give you a little Easter egg. So I'm not sure how many people are going to pick up on this because we're not going to promote it anywhere else. It's an exclusive for the podcast, Chris. But in in the new Chaos logo, people might have noticed that the letter forms all look, you know, nice and neat, and the C is twisted.
Yes.
You know, people might just think, oh, it's a quirky bit of design someone put in there for the sake of it. But I thought this was a good place to explain why that was done.
Yeah.
And it's a little Easter egg that I hope that our artist and designer community will really appreciate. So the angle of the C is actually tipped to 23.5 degrees. And that angle is the same angle as the Earth's axis. So that is a little nod, a little wink to Chaos, because we love the idea that, you know, the world, Earth, the planet that we live on, was created at a time of incredible chaos. You've got all these bombarding comets hitting the planet, and, you know, it probably got nudged by things and knocked and at some point tipped off its axis. You know, that might have been seen as a completely chaotic moment, and yet it's led to the way we move around the sun and the fact we get seasons and the amazing diversity that we have on the planet due to the different climates. So we love that idea that the creation, the chaotic world, led to something of immense beauty. So we've tipped our sea as a little nod to that chaotic time of the world's creation. So we hope people like that.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. And, you know, if you guys, you know, our listeners of the podcast, let us know what you think of that on our social media channels and tell us if you think that's a cool idea. I do have a question, though, because now you've got me totally geeking out on this whole world thing, because Melissa, that's what you do. You love space and you love astronomy and all that stuff. It's tilted. Now, is it tilted? Is that degree the actual degree of the planet's rotation or the magnetic field? Because I heard now there's talk about the magnetic field shifting again, going
twisting. Yeah. It's the Earth.
A little concerned
about
that.
The magnetic field will tip around that. We'll tie that into another product at some point.
Because that's good. That's good to know, because, you know, besides the fact if our magnetic field flips and we completely, you know, go into complete chaos again because all the satellites will fail, that also means we have to flip our logo. So I'm glad that it's not that we don't have to do that. So. Well, that's awesome. That's really cool. And thanks for sharing that that idea. And I think that Chaos is the Chaos logo is cool. I do like that it shifted up the way it is. I think it looks great. And it is, yes, it does look a little quirky, but now I love the fact that it has a perfect story behind it. Every decision has, you know, a perfect story behind it. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Nice, thanks very much for having us.